And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, you do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, one who is bathed does not need to wash except for feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you, for he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and returned to the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Can you not hear me? We're going to do a mic switch because I'm crackling.
So I'll shut mine off and put this one on. Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Awesome. Let's pray. Almighty God, in the sharing of a meal, your Son established a new covenant for all people. And in the washing of feet, he showed us the dignity of service. Let us, through the example of your Son, be in service to others, that we might be recognized by our love, and that you alone are glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Did I turn it off? These microphones, man, they get me every time. Oh, there. Now I can hear it. Fantastic. So tonight I'm going to start off with something that's a little bit different, and it's kind of exciting. When I shared with the preacher from our last Lenten worship service, Deacon Barb Martin, that we were going to do a hand washing in place of the foot washing, she said, "Ooh, I've got a thing for you." And so she gave me this guided meditation about hands. So I'm going to invite you into that space. So sit up straight in your chair and place your feet firmly on the ground. Set every distraction aside, phones down, and close your eyes. Close your eyes. Everyone else is closing them too. I'll tell you when to open them, so just keep them closed. Place your hands, palms facing upwards, in your lap. Take a deep breath in and let it out. Let your mind follow your breath. Relax tension points in your body. Become aware of your fingertips, the space between your fingers, your palms. Recognize the fullness, strength, and maturity of your hands. Think about the most unforgettable hands you've ever known. Think about the hands that delivered you into this world. A little bit messy, but bearing new life. Think of the hands of a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, or a child. Think of the oldest hands that have rested in yours. Think of a newborn's hands. Once upon a time, your hands were that same size. Think of all your hands have done since then. Almost all that you have learned has been through your hands. Crawling, pulling yourself up, rolling over. At one time, your greatest accomplishment was tying your own shoes. Think of all the learning, activities mastered, creations made with your hands. Remember the day you could write your own name. Think about the messiest your hands have been, what it took to get them clean. Our hands are not just for ourselves, but for others as well. How often they have helped another. Remember the tears they have wiped away, yours or someone else's. How much hurt or anger or even violence your hands have expressed. How much gentleness, tenderness, and love they've given. How often they've been folded in prayer or have made the sign of the cross, have reached out in a handshake or a wave to say hello or goodbye. Without opening your eyes, raise your right hand and gently place it over your heart. Press more firmly until your hand picks up the beat of your heart, a rhythm learned in the womb from the heartbeat of your mother. Press more firmly for a moment, and then release your hand and hold it just a fraction from your clothing. Feel the warmth between your hand and your heart. Now carefully lower your hand to your lap, very carefully, as if it were carrying your heart, because it does, in fact, carry your heart. When you extend your hand to another, it's not just bone and skin, it's your heart. And still, with your eyes closed, extend your hands on either side and find a hand of someone seated beside you. If you do not find the hand of another, do not dwell on it. Instead, imagine giving a friend or acquaintance this same gift, and know that my hand reaches out to offer you the same. Now, holding the other's hand, do not simply hold it, but convey a message of friendship, love, concern. Let your hand speak and let it listen. Express gratitude for this hand outstretched to you in darkness. And then bring your hand back to your lap. Experience the presence of that hand lingering upon your hand. The afterglow will fade, but the print is there forever. Whose hand was that? It could be any hand. It could have been Jesus' hand. And it was. For he has no other hands than ours. Open your eyes. For he has no other hands than ours. It's pretty profound. But we already know that, right? In the ELCA, we've got this slogan that's God's work,
our hands.
Meaning that we are deeply rooted in faith and called to serve the whole world, restoring and reconciling communities, pursuing justice and peace. If that doesn't sound like Jesus' command to love one another, I don't know what does. On the night when Jesus was washing his friends' feet, he took on the job of a servant. And in doing so, he illustrated a couple of things. He showed the disciples what a life of discipleship looks like, what loving one another looks like. And in washing feet, he was preparing his disciples for that important work and for a really important meal. So tonight, as we remember Jesus set an example of humility and service as he knelt and washed his friends' feet. He was preparing them for the coming days and for their whole lives. He was preparing them to love one another. And he prepares by showing what that looks like. Lowering yourself in humble service. We remember that Jesus shared a most important meal with his friends. The bread and the wine, Christ's body and blood broken and given to all. As Christians, as Christ followers, we don't just remember, but we're invited by Christ to experience the events of that night, that we might be prepared to do God's work with our hands and are prepared for the most important of meals, the communion meal. For a long time, throughout church history, the Maundy-Thursday service has included a foot washing. And in seminary, we attended a Maundy-Thursday worship service, and I did something I had never done before. Instead of foot washing, we had a hand washing. And it made me think about all those people who can't access a foot washing because of ability or because of age or because of discomfort. My feet are too smelly. And all of a sudden, this ritual was accessible to all. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, Jesus' intention in the foot washing comes across clearer to us today in hand washing, because at the most basic, foot washing in Jesus' time is hand washing in our time. Because our streets aren't dirty and because we wear shoes on our feet, it's not our feet that need washing. So as Jesus says in the gospel, one who has bathed does not need to wash except for feet. We might say one who is bathed does not need to wash except for hands. And today we wash our hands as a sign that we're preparing for something important, like a meal, greeting one another, caring for someone, serving food. We also wash our hands after we've done hard work at school, in the kitchen, at work, in the garage. And hopefully, as you experience through the guided meditation, that our hands are an important tool in spreading God's love. Like the foot washing of Jesus' day, the job of hand washing is not a job for the honored guest. We would much rather just do it ourselves, wash our own dirt away. And when Peter refuses to let Jesus wash his feet, he doesn't understand that Jesus isn't just washing the dirt from the outside. Jesus knows that what we need most is to be clean on the inside. All of the dirt on Peter's feet or the germs on our hands is nothing compared to the sin in our hearts. This only Jesus can wash away. And he did when he took on the sin and shame of the whole world and died on the cross. Later in our worship service, we're going to try this new way of washing, of experiencing the washing of Maundy Thursday. If you think about it, we wash our hands before every other meal. Why not the most important meal, that communion meal, that meal that prepares us for a life of discipleship, to serve others, to be God's hands in the world? And because in this meal, through this forgiveness, we do God's work with our hands. Amen.